For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Edition of the Nerd Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Third podcast in 24 hours because Rutgers football has its latest commitment in running back Antoine Raymond. He's a four-star out of the class of 2025 for now, because we have some more information on where he might be playing next season. Got some crystal ball up there, some future cast updates from Richie to talk about. We got a new offer in the transfer portal on the football side. We have a transfer portal visit for the hoop side today. Another jam-packed pod, but let's talk about the man of the hour here, Antoine Raymond, the four-star running back at a Clearwater International Academy in Florida. Clearwater International is closing its doors. It won't be around next season. Tell us a little bit about Antoine Raymond's game and basically how he ended up committing to Rutgers.
Dude, we're forgetting something.
What are we forgetting?
Night and day.
I'm sorry, you're right. My
bad. Night and day apparel. That's rule number one. You can't forget
those.
That's
right. We are presented by Night and Day Apparel. So calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts to hoodies, drinkware to pet accessories. Be sure to check out Night and Day this year at Rutgers Day. They have a booth on College Farm Road. They'll be there from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on April 27th. They'll have special promotions and discounts only for that day, so be sure to check them out. Also, check out the links in today's podcast description to stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep chopping. Now let's hear a little bit about Antoine Raymond. Tell us about his game and how he ended up committing to the Scarlet Knights.
Antoine's a damn good running back, man. 5'10", 195 listed. I think he's a little bit bulkier than that. He's got really good size. Very physical back, kind of like what you love to see out of these running back prospects for Rutgers. They continue to just dominate the running back market, whether it be like an Ed Greer, who was like a little under the radar guy, who I think flashed quite a bit, to Kyle Monongai, who's the Big Ten's leading rusher. They've just done really well with running back recruiting. He's got great vision. He's a good runner, good patience. Clearwater Academy has been very kind to Rutgers over the years. They haven't landed every kid out of the school, of course, but Wesley Bailey, the most notable one. Antoine Raymond, like Wesley Bailey, is also Canadian native, playing down at Clearwater. This is just a really good get for Rutgers. He ran for, I just had it popped up too, ran for 1,800 yards last year and 22 touchdowns on like 228 carries, I think it says. So, I mean, do the math. That's like over 8 yards per carry. He's a very, very talented running back. And it's another Demir Shaw win. The guy switched to running backs coach and now had the leading rusher in the Big Ten. And now he also just landed the four-star running back. He's done a really good job recruiting, and we've hinted at this, that he could potentially fill in that Fran Brown role when Fran left. You're seeing more and more glimpses of what he can realistically do on the recruiting trail. He's been absolutely phenomenal. But just a really big win for Rutgers here. They beat out several Power Fives. I know Syracuse had him on a visit, had him on an official visit coming up in this June. He was supposed to visit Iowa this past weekend. I'm not sure if he made that. I don't think he did. So they were pushing, who else? I just had the whole list popped up, man. Where'd it go? But besides the point, Mississippi State just offered the other day. Cincinnati offered recently. NC State was on them. Visited West Virginia, visited Miami a couple times, visited South Florida, more local of a visit. But just Texas A&M, South Carolina. Like, he had a ton of offers. This is a four-star running back full, through and through, and this is just a great get for Rutgers.
So a bit of an interesting wrinkle here about when he might end up at Rutgers, who obviously is a class of 2025 kid, four-star player, very high-end talent. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be here in 2025, or is have things changed a bit there?
That's the fun part. He's reclassifying to 2024. So his school, like you said before, is closed or closing. I don't know if they're officially closed yet. I think they're going to go out to June at the very least, and then close the doors officially on Clearwater, which kind of sucks because they've had a good program. They've produced a lot of talent. But yeah, they're closing their doors, and he's going to reclassify. He came on a visit back on the 4th, I think it was, of April, and they came to campus, and they were on campus just asking the coaches and stuff, and his mom, more so than anyone, fell in love with Rutgers and started saying, hey, is there any chance like we can kind of enroll like now? Like, not now officially, probably summertime, but because that enrollment date did pass. But yeah, no, they're like, oh, four-star running back, you want to go now? Like, let's get this process going, let's figure it out. So yeah, they figured that out. He's going to be a 2024 kid. I actually just got the update. He's going to stay as a four-star in the new rankings because he has to get a new ranking and all that. He was number 56 overall in Florida. He is going to bump down a little bit. He's going to go to number 67 in Florida for the 2024 class. And he's also going to go from number 22 overall running back in 2025 to number 26 running back in 2024. That doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. Still a four-star, still a huge get. And the coolest part about this is you get a rankings bump, obviously, in the recruiting class. So now this is your third four-star joining Corey Duff and Kaj Sanders. Rutgers now has a top 35 class. I believe it's at 32 currently. And you know what the funniest part about it all is? The guys that they bumped out of the top 35, they are like about 4 or 5 hours up north in Syracuse. So it's kind of a little slight dig at them, I guess.
Yeah, that's some. It's obviously a nice addition to the class of 2024. Of who does this kid remind you of on tape? Is there anybody that jumps out to you after you're watching him?
I'm not saying it. I talked to his coach about this, and he said multiple college coaches have told him, and he goes, "This is not me. This is what multiple college coaches have told me." Because you always hear the coach speak, and it's always some superstar. Hey, it's Isaiah Pacheco. Maybe people use that now. Some of the coaches that he's talked to, they've said Emmett Smith, old school running back Emmett Smith. And wow. I'm like, okay, let's stop. Let's temper expectations here. It would be cool if he was, but I just don't think he is. I just think he's a really good running back prospect. I don't know if I'd compare him to anyone, but this is just a really solid get for Rutgers. Because now you can kind of go shift your focus to some of the other running backs in 2025, whether it be his teammate, Khalid Campbell, I think it is, or Kayvon Mason, who they're also going to host in May, that loves Rutgers and has a future cast. Wink, wink. That was a double wink. I did it wrong. That was bad.
Well, let's start right there then. You have three future casts that we haven't discussed yet. One of them being the aforementioned running back. Tell us a little bit about his game and what makes you confident about him ending up at Rutgers.
So Kayvon Mason played at, I think it was Lake Placid last year. Now he's at Fort Meade High School or vice versa. I forget what it is. He's one of those under the radar types I've been talking about. He's more of like an Ed Greer type. He's a little bit skinnier. He's still around the same size, same height, I should say, as Antoine, but he's like 170-ish, maybe 170-ish. He's just a really talented back, put up really good numbers. It's kind of hard to see how good he is because I don't think the competition down there is that good. I could be completely wrong, but he does just a lot of good things. He's a super athlete too. He plays basketball. He's a really good basketball player actually. But he had 16 touchdowns last year. He's a really smart kid. He's got a 4.1 GPA. And he just seems really comfortable in the passing game. He kind of reminds me a little bit of a Jayshon Benjamin type. maybe not as good as Jayshon coming out of high school, but he's definitely right there. He's really good in the open field too. They're just like I said before, they're just really good at finding these like under the radar Florida backs, whether it be Mason, Jayshon Benjamin, Ed Greer. So I really am very, pretty confident in this one. He's more of a home run type hitter where it's like that one cut and go and that's it. He's gone. But yeah, I'm pretty confident in Rutgers doing really well right now. I'd argue Rutgers in the lead. I know it's kind of a cop out to say when you're his only Power Five off. Well, UCF has it too, but when you're one of his only Power Five offers, but he'll be on campus June 7th for an official visit. He visited back in October. He just loves the campus. Again, another Demir Shaw guy. So I'd be a little shocked that this doesn't get locked up following that visit, even before maybe.
Love to hear it. Let's go on to our next future cast that you've put in. That's for wide receiver Jaleel Hall. Mm-hmm. He is, I believe, where's he from and kind of what's his game remind you of?
On Signor Bonner out of Pennsylvania. I think it's Drexel, Pennsylvania, something like that. Okay. He has a top list of schools. It's a top five right now of Duke, Maryland, Syracuse, and West Virginia. He's only visited two of those schools, so it's kind of like a little bit of a cheat here. He's a tall, lengthy receiver, 6'4", or legit 6'4", 180-ish, 190-ish around there. Probably got off. Probably take a red shirt just because his wide receiver room is actually getting built up quite a bit. But another Demir Shaw guy. I really like his game. I think he's a very talented player. I think playing at Monsignor Bonner doesn't really help his case, but they're not bad either. They're just not great either. So they're like kind of in between. He's just been to Rutgers a million times. Like I think in the last calendar year, I think he was there four times between January to October. He also came back for a visit in this January for one of the basketball games. I want to say it was the Purdue game, but I don't know for certain. Just a really good prospect. I think Rutgers has a really good shot there, and he'll be on campus for an official visit. When is it? I want to say it was the first weekend in June. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but he's built a really good bond with the coaching staff. He has a decision date too for June 29th. I don't think it makes it to that decision date personally. We've heard the same thing from a couple sources, so we'll just wait and see. But Rutgers is in a very good spot here.
Yeah, and watching his tape, he adjusted the ball really well in the air. He high points the ball well.
Yeah, I should have talked about his game probably.
Yeah, he's got some pretty good speed. It's tough because he doesn't play the best competition, mm-hmm. but I assume that, you know, Rutgers has had some really good looks at him in a camp and combine setting. And obviously this is a guy who's been on campus a lot and Rutgers has been out to see a lot. So clearly they really like this kid. So a good addition as the first receiver commit of the class or first potential receiver commit of the class of 2025. Mm-hmm. If your future cast ends up being accurate, which you have a pretty high success rate at. So I wouldn't, if I'm out there, I wouldn't bet against you. Yeah. On that one.
He has a school touchdown record too, with 14 touchdowns wow. in a year. So plays defensive end as well. Just goes to show you his athleticism. You never really see wide receiver defensive end, but he does
not
it.
Often.
So,
yeah.
So good kid to watch though.
Let's talk about your final future cast that you have in here. It's a defensive tackle from Florida, Jayon Simon. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this kid.
Yeah, so he was actually down at the Rivals camp in Miami, I want to say 2 weeks ago, because I think Charlotte was last weekend, so 3 weeks ago. Has a lot of offers. Kind of he said he was wide open, which I found out was really interesting because it sounds like Rutgers is near the top of that, and it sounds like it could be ending soon. Made a trip to campus the 6th or the 3rd, whatever this Saturday was, the 13th. Made a trip to campus, and that pretty much sealed the deal. He wanted to get some official visits scheduled. I don't think he ended up scheduled. Oh, no, he does have one scheduled for North Carolina State, who he also visited recently. He's got every SEC program, like Auburn, Arkansas. I shouldn't say everyone. He's got a couple. Tennessee. He's got Texas. That's an SEC program now. That's weird. USC, Pittsburgh. I know Pitt was also pushing for him a lot. I know North Carolina State was pushing for a lot. So Rutgers should beat out a couple of those guys. But it sounds like that visit on the 13th really just sealed the deal. He saw the scrimmage, saw the team, and that was it pretty much. Another Jacksonville kid. They've done pretty well in Jacksonville, Florida. And he's, I know people are complaining about his height because they're like, if he's 6'3", he's actually 6'2". And I'm sitting here like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. 6'3", 282, massive size. You're probably going to have to turn some of that into muscle. But I think this is a really quietly good get. Plus, it's a Florida kid. Now, the issue with Florida kids is you got to stay on them the whole time. Otherwise, see ya. But I like this addition a lot, well, potential addition a lot. So we'll wait and see what happens. But I'm pretty confident that this is going to end up with in Rutgers' favor.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of buzz behind Rutgers football right now. Recruiting is definitely on the up and up. And just early returns on some of the younger guys from camp, too, sound really good. So they clearly have an eye for talent, even for guys who don't really have the most offers. So exciting to hear about some of these players. I did want to touch on another portal offer that Rutgers put out yesterday. This is a guy I'm going to give you your flowers here. You called out as a potential player to watch in the portal thread on the board. So if you're not a member of the boards, you would have you wouldn't have heard about this until now, probably. But Rutgers offered former Colorado offensive tackle Savion Washington, who is an absolute mountain of a man. I think he's listed at like 6'8" or 6'9", like 330. He was somebody who transferred in from Kent State. Now, Kent State, this should be a very relevant school for everybody paying attention, because obviously we have their former defensive line coach. And while he coaches defensive line, he actually recruited Savion Washington to Kent State before he ended up transferring out to Colorado. So what are you hearing about this offer and kind of the level of impact Savion Washington could have?
Yeah, so Savion Washington has been has been stellar. I tried to bite my tongue there. It didn't really work too much, but has been stellar at both spots, including Kent State and Washington. Savion Washington, Colorado. There we go. I keep mixing up all these things. You can't have his last name as a state, man. It fucks me. But no, he was really good to start the season. First five games actually, and then got hurt. I think he hurt his foot or ankle either during the USC game or practice the week after. Missed week 6, 7, 8, struggled in week 9, but slowly started to bounce back towards the end of the season. You can blame competition on that. You can blame whatever you want. But like, his best performance of the season, just if we're going based off like PFF grades, was against USC, who was one of the better teams in the conference. He also played a ton of snaps at Kent State, grading out as a 75 overall, 78 pass blocker, 71 run blocker. Like, dude, these are really good numbers. Now, his numbers took a dip this year because he played better competition, for one. Number two, I think he had shittier coaching at Colorado this past year, because I really don't know what they do there. But I'm not going to judge too much, but I think this would be a really good get. 6'8", 320. Has connections to Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell recruited him out of high school. Massive. You need a right tackle probably regardless, because like I said before, as much as people love the Reggie Sutton story, I don't think he can go every single – and Greg's kind of hinted at it too in pressers. It's like you got to work with him a little bit differently than how you work with a normal lineman, because he's going to have to take plays off. And if you can have Sutton as like your rotational backup tackle, huge. That's a huge jump to go to this guy from Sutton to this guy. Then you tell me you have Holland Pierce, who's 6'8", 330, and then Savion Washington, who's 6'8", 320. I don't care who the quarterback is. They might be standing up for 8 seconds straight.
Like, I know. That is a massive bookend of tackles, with potentially having Pierce and Washington. Crazy size for both those guys.
Yeah, massive. And then it sucks because like Curtis Dunlap's out of eligibility, because that would have been a cool thing to see with a 6'8", a 6'8", a 6'7". Like, it would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. But then you just see Gus Sawinskis walk over and it's like, hey, man, like, what the fuck?
Are you lost? Yeah.
He's good, though. I like Gus. I think Savion Washington could be a sneaky good get. And like you said about CJ West yesterday, they don't offer these guys unless they have a legitimate – or they think they have a legitimate shot. Them offering CJ West and them offering Savion Washington tells me that they think they have a legitimate shot at both. And you snag those two, I'm not going to jump the gun here, but this better get on the bus now for Rutgers football.
Yeah, no, that would be an absolutely huge pickup. I don't think really many people kind of knew what to expect from this the second portal window, given that it's still kind of like they're still feeling it out. I think they just established these new windows as of this year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Washington's going to rack up offers.
I think he has just a bunch already.
Yeah, I don't know the exact ones he's got. I don't think he's released them either. I'm looking at his Twitter right now, and I don't see him listing any offers, but he will rack up offers without a doubt. Tackles, both on the offensive line and the defensive line, are very hard to come by, especially good ones. So he will get a ton of interest without a doubt. You just got to hope that the old ball coach in Colin Farrell is a big draw for these guys. Because while Rutgers won't be able to pay top of the market money in terms of NIL, they do build great relationships and they do have a decent NIL program to offer to these guys if they decide they want to come here. So
I mean, Jaquay Jackson, they beat out some significant NIL schools. Yep. I'm just saying.
Yep. But we shall see. Richie, you'll probably have more on that in the coming days as he kind of gathers more intel on both these guys' situations.
Things just got interesting.
All right, let's hear it.
Faye Ndongo has declared for the NBA draft while maintaining his college eligibility. There's no word if he'll enter the portal or not, too. But hear me out. That would be the one.
Woo, man. That's a great transition into some hoops talk. But
yeah.
Faye Ndongo, man, he would be the perfect fit into this team. You know, he's an athletic big who can run the floor. Obviously one of the best freshman bigs in the country last year. I think there was a total of like 20 guys who averaged better than 12 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, and more than a block a game in all of the Power Five. And he was the only freshman to average that. So some pretty lofty numbers. You'd love to land a guy like this. Obviously, we already landed him kind of once.
Sort of.
So if we can maybe convince him to come back here. Did he enter the portal, does it say?
No, it says just the draft as of right now. Just reading some comments. All ACC rookie team, I mean, based on those numbers, self-explanatory. Third in the country among freshmen in rebounding would be huge. And 16th in blocks. He signed with an agent, though, and you would have to assume the agent's going to be like, hey, buddy, just so you know, like, if you entered Portal, you could probably get a nice chunk of money right now.
Yeah.
It does sound like he was a little bit turnover prone, but, I mean, it's a freshman. You can't really – a freshman who wasn't, like, projected to be a superstar or even projected to be a starter and ended up playing significant minutes. So I'd be really intrigued to see what happens with him, because if you put him around a better supporting cast than what he had at Georgia Tech, which I'd probably argue this roster right now for Rutgers looks better than Georgia Tech's last year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, you'll probably see him even raise his stock even more. He'd just become a more efficient player. That would be one to keep a really close eye on, I feel like.
Yeah, we will have more on that as the situation develops, but just literally breaking news as we're recording that Faye Ndongo has entered the portal. He's declared for the draft. He has not entered the portal as of right now, but usually those things kind of go hand in hand based on everything we've seen recently. Let's talk about some breaking news, and I want to credit Brian Fonseca for being first to report this today. Rutgers has another visitor on campus.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the portal. This time it is Long Beach State sharpshooting guard and standout defender Jaden Jones. Now, not that Jaden Jones. This is Jaden with an O in his name, so it's J-A-D-O-N. He's been at Long Beach State for 4 years. They had a pretty prolific run this year. You know, they fired their coach right before the conference tournament for the Big West. They end up, you know, running the table, winning the Big West conference tournament and playing as a 15 seed against Arizona in the NCAA tournament. Jaden Jones, very interesting background. I think he shot 38% from three this year on high volume. And he also was the defensive player of the year 2 years ago in the Big West. So this is a guy who is a great defender, great shooter. And I believe he's listed at 6'5", 190.
Yeah.
So he has good size. Basically exactly what we're looking for. Tell us a little bit about Jaden Jones and how this kind of situation came together.
Yeah, so I kind of hinted at it yesterday. They are looking for a shooter. It's been a very adamant search for a shooter. I know everyone's like, what about the big man? We need a big man. Well, they still have two spots left. So everyone relax, number one, because I see him on the boards freaking out, being like, yo, we're done with, we're not getting a big man, right? And I'm like, there's a whole nother spot open. Like, relax, patience. But this kid is just lights out, man. Against USC, dropped 18 points, 8 rebounds. And that was it. Against UC Irvine, who's the best team in their conference in the Big West, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. Like, this kid is just – I actually want to know who won – I didn't look it up yet. I want to know who won Big Ten or Big West Defensive Player of the Year, because this kid had 4 games of 4-plus – 4 games of 4 steals, 11 games of 3-plus steals, and then 18 games of 2-plus steals. Like, this man had crazy numbers. He had multiple games with 3 blocks, 2 blocks, over 10 games with 2 blocks. Like, put up really good defensive numbers. So I'm curious who won that award this season. But really good numbers. Scored 20 points in multiple games. Sharp shooter from deep. Like you said, 38% from 3 is huge. 85% from the free throw line, which, again, we've seen Rutgers struggle with. He did only shoot – I shouldn't even say only – he only shot 42% from the field in general, but his effective field goal was 55. Like, this is a guy that would be such a difference maker. And he's a decent rebounder. He's a good defender. He could spot up basically anywhere. This is the guy, like, I'm just putting in the corner and just saying, here, when I drive, you're going to be open. You catch, you shoot, you make 3 points. There we go. We're done. So – it's just, I don't know. It's, this would be a really good get, but I like what Sports Reference does. So they do win shares, like an estimate. It's basically an estimate of like the number of wins a player has contributed to on both defense and offense. This past season, it says he contributed to 4 wins. In his career, it says 10 or no, 11. I'm sorry. So, I mean, 4 wins. If this kid can get me three or 4 more wins in the season, that's huge. Like, this would be a really good get.
Yeah. Super high offensive rating as well. He had a 117.2 this past year. And to repeat, the highest offensive rating Rutgers had this past year, I believe, was Andre Hyatt at 104. He had a 54.3% effective field goal percentage. He had a low turnover rate at less than 12%. He had a really high block rate, too. His block rate was almost 4% this year. A steal rate of 3.1%, which is really good. Shot 85% from the line. You know, he had 292 shots this year, and of those 292, 191 were from beyond the arc. So really high volume, shooter from beyond the arc, and hit it at 38%. And he's a great spot up shooter. 97% of his 3-point attempts were assisted. So he's not a guy who's just, you know, playing ISO ball and, you know, off the dribble a lot. It's a lot of catch and shoot, which is great to hear. Just in general, would be a really good pickup. He's only on a visit, so it's not like we're, you know, wrapping him up. I think he's got to be willing to come in and want to play on a team that is going to have a lot of guys making contributions, and he's got to be willing to want to come in and play a role. But I mean, this is exactly what Rutgers should be looking for in terms of a 3-and-D big guard / wing who can knock down threes and play really good defense. Just really impressive, the guys that they're getting on campus to potentially add to this team. And, you know, they're one of the only teams in all of high major basketball who have 3 portal commits. So you love to see that. Obviously, we're still looking for a big man, and that market's kind of been quiet. But this would be a fantastic pickup if he decided to end up coming to Rutgers.
Yeah, this would be absolutely huge. This is what I've been clamoring for a little bit, just a spot up shooter. And he does everything a little well. Some things better than others, but yeah, I think this would be a great addition. And like you said, he's got to be willing to come off the bench and like be willing to sacrifice some. And you saw that in the quotes from Dirk Hack, in the quotes from Martini, even in the quotes from Acuff that came out today. These guys have got to be willing to sacrifice for one another, and that's what it's going to take. Now you have not a logjam. People are calling it a logjam, I guess, on the boards. I think it's actually interesting because I think Jeremiah, Dylan, Ace, 1, 2, 3, probably starters. I think Dirk Hack could play the 2 or the 3. He technically played the 3 for Merrimack, different conference, mind you. But he's tall and lengthy enough. This kid, Jaden Jones, if he jumped on board, has enough length that I think at moments he can guard 3s, depending on who they're going against, because there is going to be some 3-guard lineups you're going to face. We were talking about Ohio State in one of the podcasts doing that a lot this past season. They'll probably do it again with the same coach. And then who am I missing? Oh, Acuff can play the probably just the 2, but maybe the 1 as well. You can kind of just mix and match these guys. There's going to be so many different rotations you can have. There's so many different lineups you can have. And it's really going to depend on matchups at the end of the day. Do they have a skinny 4 that's like ace size? I'm going to slide Ace up to the 4 and I'm going to run with 3 guards. Do they have a little bulkier 4? I'm going to put Martini at the 4 and have Ace put a 3. And then I have a mismatch at the 3 because Ace is 6'10 and going against a 6'5 kid. Like, you can really mix and match a lot of things. Dylan's 6'6 too. And I don't want to say he could play to 3, but depending on the opposing the opposing 3, which might be a guard in some cases, Dylan could guard that. So it's like, I don't know. You have so many different rotations and lineups you can work with if this kid jumps on board. This could be very, very exciting.
Yeah, no, it's a great great situation Rutgers finds themselves in, because this is a very, very talented player, and you just I don't know. You got to hope that things, you know, this is the kind of guy that Rutgers can land. I know I'm stammering with my words here, but I'm looking up, I'm doing a query on Sports Reference right now, because there's, if you just look at guys who took at least 100 3-point attempts this year and made at least 35% of those three-point attempts,
mm-hmm.
only 3 guys also averaged at least 1.5 steals and 0.9 blocks a game. And Jaden Jones is one of them. And that's kind of the epitome, in my opinion, of like a 3-and-D wing. Like, are you playing great defense and shooting at a high volume? And Jaden Jones is one of only 3. The other 2 being Devin Carter of Providence. I believe he's in the portal as well. And Amari Tice, mm-hmm. Formerly of Quinnipiac. I don't know a whole lot about him, but it'd be a great pickup. So credit to the staff for getting him on campus and hopefully signing him up. So
yeah, this would be absolutely huge. So, and then just relax again. Big man will come in due time. I think they're kind of waiting to see what the market does, because like Okwifu Mori's not anywhere. He's a top big man. The only one that really committed that's a top guy would be Omar Ballou, I think, right now, and Bradshaw. The others are kind of still kind of feeling it out.
Also, like, there's another very recent one in Terrace Reed going to UConn. But yeah, see these
happen today.
Yeah, literally just happened like an hour ago. But it's going to be a domino effect. These guys are going to want to see where other guys are going, what those other guys got in terms of NIL, before the, you know, the mid-tier guys start committing. And this is common at every level of, I'm going to call it free agency, like the NFL, like it's always, you're trying to see where that top guy goes, because then you could base your contract off of where that guy goes. Or like, you know, there's one big hole, and when that big hole is filled, the other guys then are like, okay, I guess I'm not getting that slot, so I'm going to go elsewhere.
Yeah. So we'll just wait and see what happens. Once, like you said, domino effect, just got to wait and see. I did see Kashawn Pryor post on his Instagram story today. He said out to LA this weekend. I don't know if that means visit. I don't know if that means something, but probably not going to visit Rutgers this weekend if he's going out to LA, if I had to guess.
Yep.
Just a pure assumption.
So that is fair. Good assumption there. That is kind of all we had, unless you had something else we haven't mentioned. Very busy morning for Rutgers Athletics news, for sure.
And I will say, I don't think we're done this week. I know we haven't recorded in like a week, and then we had two yesterday, another today. I think there's going to be another one, if I had to guess, just saying.
Oh boy, as a, you know, a very famous fake character said, hold on to your butts, because things are happening. More good news on the horizon, so stay tuned to the podcast feed, stay tuned to the boards, because you'll be hearing from us again very soon.
Yep.
But I want to thank everybody again for listening and for subscribing, liking, following us on your favorite platform, podcasting platform, and our YouTube. We're still trying to get up to 4,000 subscribers on YouTube. Then we'll do our next giveaway. So if you haven't already, sign up for that. If you haven't followed us already, you know, you're probably missing episodes, especially if you haven't been around for the last 24 hours. So if you're not following us on your favorite podcasting platform, you should be. Because all of our episodes will be in your feed waiting for you whenever you have a moment. But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Report Podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.